When the art day gets rough, you just gotta keep on punching. And here's your Thunder Punch Daily with Jersey Drozd.
Now it's time to talk about Pickles, the master of the dance fighting style, the young adventurer who accompanies Dr. Bear in the story of the case of the Two-Face statue. So where did this character come from? And why did I decide to put her in the book? The whole genesis of Pickles started, I want to say, like in 2010 or something like that. My wife and I were just at one of those big box grocery stores like Meijer or Walmart. I think it was Meijer. And we just would occasionally, while on our grocery trips, take a wheel through the toy section just to see what kids are buying. And it might have been, I think around this time too, we were really kind of caught up in the whole Skylanders craze. We actually were playing the game and really loving it and loving the whole premise of it. So I think part that might have been part of it too, as we were going to look to see if they had any other Skylanders figures we didn't have. And we passed by the plushies in the toy section, and there was this smiling plushie pig looking out at us, and we both stopped and remarked, I'm like, that is like the happiest pig I've ever seen in my entire life. And we moved on, finished grocery shopping. And when we got home, we found we were still talking about that darn pig. Like, still thinking about how happy that pig was. And the next thing I know, I'm in the car going back to get that pig. And we still have it. So, you know, I called the pig Pickles because of alliteration and because I didn't think about it very hard. But this plushie's been, you know, part of our household since then. And fast forward a few years to 2014... and I was doing the Inktober Challenge, which is that thing where you draw an ink drawing every day for 30 days in October, or 31 days. And I just found the sketchbook, and it was the first day of Inktober 2014. Just on a whim, I drew this little action pig riding on a battle tortoise without any objective or expectation. It was just that year, back then, I always treated the creative challenge season as a way to not just practice, but generate something. And so that year I was like, well, I'm going to do rapid idea generation for characters in my little animal world that I'd been playing with, Boulder and Fleet, Dr. Bear, etc. And so I drew this little pig riding on this tortoise, looking fierce. And it just, I looked at it and I felt like there was something there. My friends looked at it, gave me a lot of positive feedback, and looked at it, gave me a lot of positive feedback. And the next couple entries, as I'm flipping through the sketchbook, are all this pig and this turtle. I didn't know who they were. I didn't know what they were about. But looking at the drawings, the pig is very graceful and caring, and the tortoise is very big and fierce. The giant tortoise from the start. Let's see. The first four feature those two. And then I went into some idea generation for a Boulder and Fleet story that I did called Mining for Trouble. Oh, but there's some Dr. Bear in here too. So that year I did like a lot of investigation of characters. But yeah, it started with just like, I just took that little pig plushie and gave her a staff and a scarf. And suddenly it felt like there was something there and I wanted to investigate it further. And as I investigated it and did more sketches, it eventually became a mini comic called Pickles and Taft Adventures for Hire. And at this point I was thinking, yeah, I have Boulder and Fleet Adventures for Hire. If this is an occupation in this world, there could be lots of adventurers for hire. So instead of bounty hunters, these are people who are going in quest of adventure for money. Sam and Max, freelance police, that kind of idea, right? But like something with a little bit more sweetness and less wildness. And when I drew that first mini comic, what emerged was Pickles is the overwhelmingly joyous character whose joy is so big that it comes out of her body as dance. Now, I'm not a dancer. I've never been a dancer. And as a matter of fact, I have very clear memories of being in middle school going to mixers and asking kids to teach me how to dance. And they would say, just feel the rhythm. And I would say, I don't know what that means. So I have no personal visceral connection with dance. I appreciate it. I love Fred Astaire movies. I love watching that man move. He's like made of liquid. It's incredible to watch him and Ginger Rogers dance together. So I appreciate it, but it's not something where I feel like, oh, this is coming from some kind of personal part of my biography. It was more like just remembering that feeling of being a little kid and being so, the feelings of happiness around big events were so big that it felt like it had to come out of my body in some way. And the example I think of is when I was, gosh, how old was I? I must have been like 7 or 8, maybe 9. My little brother and I just saw Superman 2 in the theater. And we came out of the theater and we were so amped up about that. We just started like wrestling each other on the sidewalk in front of the movie theater. We were not trying to hurt each other. It was more like the joy of watching a really cool superhero movie was too much and it had to come out of us in some kind of physical way. I remember whatever guardian or parent was taking us was pretty upset that it manifested in that way. So that was part of the idea. It's like, okay, she's so joyful that it just comes out of her body and she just has to dance. And then I thought, well, that could actually be like a fighting style in this universe. Like there's, and I'm sure that there actually is, like, I haven't done any research on this, like martial art based on dance, Tai Bo or something, I don't know. But it started there. She's overwhelmingly joyfully happy. And then, you know, you balance that out by having the best buddy be the compensatory personality. So if she's the balloon that wants to waft away on whatever winds are moving that day, he's the one who holds her down to the ground with a sense of realism and maybe even a sense of cynicism, right? Tortoises are big and heavy and slow. So he brings her back down. Not weighs her down, he brings her back down. We'll talk more about Taft later, but for Pickles, I think something that changed with the Inscrutable Dr. Bear is because I had a lot more space to really play with her personality and not just do this sort of like buddy 8-page mini comic, which is where they started, as I realized I wanted to be a little bit more, what would be the word for it? I wanted to be a little bit more loving in the way I named Pickles' faults. Her type of character, the exuberant, joyful character, has shown up in a lot of the books that I've done. Nina in the front. One of my earliest published works, which was called Art School Girls, had a character named Acrylic, who is the joyful little chibi girl. And I think in the past, especially when I was younger, I always wrote those characters with like a little sense of suspicion about them. Like as if there's something performative and phony about being that happy. And that's like remnants of my younger emo self. Even though I show up in the world in a very joyful way, I was very suspicious of joy when I was young. But when I was really young, before I became emo, when I was a child and 10 years old, these are the characters that I loved in storytelling, like Bumblebee in the Transformers Gen 1 series, the Robear Burbles in Thundercats, Orko in He-Man. I loved these characters. And as a matter of fact, I have a very clear memory of even though I grew up in a big family, I had like a lot of siblings and I had friends at school, but I remember like feeling a real sense of loneliness as a child. And my parents had a yellow VW Beetle that something happened to it. And for several months, it just stayed parked next to the garage. And then eventually they got rid of it. But in that summer, I remember going and when I was feeling especially lonely, I would just sit in that car. I would just climb into the yellow Beetle and pretend I was sitting there talking with Bumblebee. And the thing that I remember craving from that relationship was I wanted that big, cheerful friend who would always be there to like help, you know, lift me up when I'm feeling scared, lonely, small, sensitive, etc. So from a very young age, I've always loved those characters. In my youth, as a creator, I was suspicious of those characters. So now, as a, you know, hopefully more mature human being, I wanted to approach that type of character with more empathy. So with Pickles, I decided, okay, she's joyful, but that joy is performative to an extent, but it's because she's very emotionally intelligent. She intuits what everybody's feeling all the time, and she turns up or down her volume on her happiness accordingly. And she also holds space for other people's quirkiness. There's a part in the book where Dr. Bear says something kind of insulting to Pickles and Taft. And Pickles whispers to Taft, he'll apologize for that later. And it's something about like wanting to see the good in everybody, but she doesn't put that in anybody else's pocket. She's not trying to make this somebody else's deal. This is her deal. Her deal is that she likes to look for the and anticipate the best in everybody. But that doesn't take away from the fact that if she sees somebody being a butthole, she's going to call him a butthole. And she does do that with the villain, Gallus Lugubrious. She gets right up in his face about that stuff, but not in a super confrontational, nasty way, just more of a, like a sort of a creating a boundary and saying no, right? So I think in the writing of the book, it was an act of discovery for me to find out what are the different layers to being a joyful character in a healthful way, but also in a way that provides some quirks and silliness. So another thing she does in the book that I'm very fond of is she insists that there's a type of magic that Dr. Bear doesn't know about called hug magic. And that if you can undo curses, she's just giving them a big tight hug. And she even has a song that she sings about it. And the book leaves it kind of open-ended on whether or not that's a thing. But philosophically, I think there's a truth in what she's sharing. So now we have our uptight scholar, Dr. Bear, who is full of knowledge, maybe a little short on wisdom, high in compassion, but not the emotional intelligence in order to express it in a way that people need to hear it. And now we have the less book learned, but more compassionate and highly emotionally intelligent Pickles to start rounding out the team. And then next we'll get to Taft and talk about how he balances out the trio in my mind for the book. So if this has sounded at all interesting to you, if you made it this far, thank you very much for listening. And then also I encourage you to go to drbear.com, DrBear, swap those two vowels in the middle of the word bear from the English spelling. And that's .com. That'll get you to the page where you can learn more about the book, see some sample pages, and order it. You can order the book now. And there's even some other buttons you can click for, like getting merchandise or like booking me for a presentation or workshop at your school or library. It's all there at drbear.com. Thank you to everybody who has ordered the book so far. It means a lot to me. And I'll be back soon with another Thunder Punch Daily. And until then, remember, everybody.
In today's story, the beautiful voice of Selyse kept the evil Yogg from making all sorts of bad things happen. Now, I can't promise that a song will make any magic for you, but I can promise that when you're feeling lonely or sad, and we all do sometimes, if you try singing a song or maybe whistling or maybe just smiling, you'll feel a lot better. Honest. Try it and see. And I'll be seeing you very soon. Bye now.